You know, last Sunday and the last couple of weeks, I've been talking to you a lot about the political and social situation in our country. It's a time of great tension, especially when you get into discussions about the political situation in which we're in. And it's going to get even dicier, I think, of course, as the elections draw near. Today, what I'd like to do is share with you an approach that I find extremely important and productive. And it's, in my opinion, more important than ever because of the increasing sensitivity and tensions in the discussions that are arising. It's not only about gay marriage. You're hearing, for example, the tremendous noise and vibrato, I guess, or anger that is being caused by the whole immigration issue. And Donald Trump is, you know, getting out there and getting people riled up. I just want to spend time talking with you about the difference between winning or getting people riled up and evangelization. Because there is a tremendous difference between winning an argument and really being a witness to the gospel. And that's what I'd like to do today. I want you to notice what Jesus tells the disciples to do. And in Mark, which is the gospel that we read today, you see, in the Bible has what are called, the first three gospels are called the synoptics. Now, at first, that might be a strange word to you. But, and you know how I love etymology, okay? Sin, not S-I-N, but S-Y-N, means the same, okay? And optic means look. So, the synoptic gospels are three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is not part of the synoptic. And why are they called synoptic? Because the best understanding that the church has was that there probably was an original version of the story of Jesus. And that's the shortest gospel, which is the gospel of Mark. It's the shortest. And then Matthew and Luke got information, extra information, about the stories that are told in Mark. But they added the information using Mark as a kind of a skeletal structure. And so when you read them, it's funny because last week I was on the radio, this is parentheses, I was on the radio and this lady, bless her heart, she calls in and evidently she hadn't read the Bible too much ever. And she started reading the Bible. the New Testament. And she started with the first gospel, Matthew. And then she finished the first gospel, and then she started with Mark. And then she went to Luke. And she was complaining that it was all the same thing. It's all the same thing. And she was expecting that the Bible was going to read like any other book. You know, that it was going to be a continuing story. Well, it's not. You got to remember that when you're reading the Bible, you're actually reading a collection of books. It's actually more like a library than anything else. And the Synoptic Gospels all have very similar stories of Jesus, but the different writers included different details. Now, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because the story that is in the Gospel of Mark today says that Jesus tells them, the disciples, to go out and to preach and to cast out demons and heal people. And he says something that is also retold in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. He says, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave. And then he goes on to, you know, preach and everything. But in the other Gospels, there's a couple of them, and I can't remember which one says which. But the other Gospels go on to say, eat what is placed before you. Okay, don't go around from house to house saying, who's got the better food? Okay, don't do that. And what's very interesting about this is that I was reading that Pope Francis focused in on this when he was talking about today's gospel. And he was saying that Jesus, in putting emphasis on this, he's putting emphasis on the apostles receiving hospitality before they begin to really get into preaching what I came to tell you. Now, I just want you to focus on the manner in which Jesus is putting the priorities. He's saying to the disciples, when you get somewhere, first receive and accept what is given to you. And then start preaching. Now, there may be, you know, people who know you a little bit, and first go into whatever house you're received in, wherever you're going to stay, and have the humility to listen and to accept the accommodations that you're given, and to enter in to the local culture. Don't go in saying, you know, with the idea that I'm here to tell you what to believe. Go in listening. Now, transfer that, and this is something that I've known for a long, long time. I'm a Catholic priest. My job is to proclaim the gospel. But you never start a relationship with anybody that you want to evangelize by going up to them and saying, I'm here to tell you what to believe. I'm here to tell you the truth. What do you do? The very first thing you gotta do is be human. Start out by saying hello. Start out by experiencing a common humanity, smile. Listen to another person's experience of who God is. I never hide that I'm a Catholic priest. I am very proud of it. But neither do I carry my priesthood on my shoulder. I don't walk around, and this is kind of some of the reasons sometimes I don't like to wear the collar, but I'll wear it if I need to. But I don't want to enter into a relationship with anybody else immediately saying, I'm here and I'm going to tell you what to believe. I want to start by meeting them as people. Now, it's going to be obvious the moment anybody asks me what I do, I immediately say I'm a Catholic priest. The other thing that I enjoy, and which is why I tell people to do this, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I wear this ring. And this ring has a fairly big cross on it. And it's amazing. I'll be in an airplane or I'll be at a restaurant and a waitress or, somebody sitting next to me will say, are you religious? And I'll say, yeah, you might say so. Okay? And so they ask me, well, what are you? And I'm a Catholic priest. But I don't go in putting that on, that I'm going to shove down your throat what I believe. Then the next step is to have a conversation. Listen. One of the things that I am very aware of is that whenever I meet another person, the Holy Spirit has been in that person's life before I got there. My job is not to put the Holy Spirit into them. My job is not to put God into them. The first job that I have to do is listen to how God has been present in this person's life. And then, once you listen, then you can begin to share your own experience. And you can begin to give a contrasting opinion, for example. I think if you go the other way, if you go the way of, if you don't believe it this way, you're not going to get saved, or you're going to go to hell, or God doesn't love you. Immediately what happens is you set up a me against you issue. And nothing good ever comes of it. Nothing good ever comes of it. What Jesus is telling his disciples to do is go in. Listen. Accept hospitality. Eat whatever is set before you. And then people are normally curious. And then begin to share your faith. Is everybody going to accept it? Nope. That's why the gospel says, if somebody doesn't accept whatever you're sharing, say, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I love that. You notice? I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm not sorry for what I'm saying. I'm sorry for what you feel that way. But Jesus says, wipe, shake the dust. What does that mean? It means there's a little prayer by T.S. Eliot, a great poet, at the end of one of his poems. The poem is called Ash Wednesday. And Eliot says at the end, Lord, teach me to care and not to care. Teach me to care and not to care. Now, not caring is as much as important as caring. Sometimes not caring doesn't mean that you personally, that you don't care about that person's ultimate good. What you're saying is, God was there before I got there, and God cares about them, and I got to move on. God is not limited by his caring. We are, but God is not. And besides, for example, you don't see Jesus going around, "Oh my God, the Pharisees don't like me. Oh, what am I going to do? The Pharisees are talking bad about me." Yep. And you don't see him saying, "What can I do to make them like me?" You don't see him kind of changing his tune. You see Jesus trying to be as kind as humanly possible, but when there's a contradiction, sorry, I ain't changing. And there is a time for confrontation. There is a time for that. But that should never be first. It should never be your initial approach to anything. Now, that means that you gotta study. I know that this is a hard thing to hear. Too many Catholics are ignorant about their faith. And you know what they do? Instead of reading and trying to get remedy that ignorance, they get emotional. They'll go, "I believe this." And all of a sudden you hear, "I'm Catholic." Well, bully for you. You're Catholic. Use your brain. Your brain, your emotions are never a substitute for your brain. If you are a faithful Catholic, and I try to be, and I'm very passionate about my Catholic faith, and I sometimes lose it, but I acknowledge that every time I have lost it in an argument, it has never benefited anybody, including me. There is a time that you can be forceful, but losing it and getting it in an argument that leaves everybody bitter is not going to do the gospel or you or anybody any good. There is a difference between being able to disagree with somebody, and we say this on the radio, when you listen to the radio, I'm on a radio program on Sunday nights when I go out right after this, and 1070 KNTH with me and a rabbi and a Baptist minister. It sounds like a joke, but it's not. It's an actual radio program. And what we say is, call us, agree, disagree, but don't be disagreeable. And what we try to do is to have a discussion. And to say, especially with each other, because me and the rabbi, for example, we end up, we agree on about 80%. But when it comes to 20%, we disagree. And I have to admit, sometimes he gets my temper up. Okay, but at the same time, even when I argue with him, we still really love each other. We're good friends. And so there's a little trust level. But even then, it ends up not doing anything. And so, what's the message that I'm ultimately leaving with you? First of all, I told you last week that increasingly, it's going to be very hard to be a conscientious Catholic. It's going to be harder and harder. It's going to be harder and harder to be able to engage without being informed. Now, that doesn't mean everybody has to be a theologian. It does mean that you may have to practice, in addition to spending time reading a little bit and trying to educate yourself a little bit, you may have to practice intellectual humility. Intellectual humility basically means, you know, I disagree with you, but I'm not able to express right now my reasoning behind it. But I disagree with you. And then you can either find out or refer a person to someone who can make an intelligent argument. But it's going, I have a hunch that things are going to get a little harder. And all I'm saying to you is be prepared. But first, listen. Listen. And don't be quick to immediately get in a fight with people. Listen and see where there are common areas of agreement. And then ultimately, do in every situation, do the most loving thing. That's what I always tell people. The truth in any given situation is the most loving thing that you can do. So if you're confused and you don't know how to answer, or you don't know you're in a situation where you can't, first humility, and then do the most loving thing that you can. And you can say, I agree or I disagree, and then try to study a little bit. It doesn't do any good to try to bong people over the head with religion. It just doesn't. Okay? So I think that the example that Jesus gives us is a really good one. Go in, serve what is, learn the culture, learn the person that you're talking to. Learn a little bit about what they're saying to you. Do they have any points? If you find disagreements, say, I'll get back to you. Or I'll ask somebody who knows a little better. And I think that that's the way we're going to have to proceed. And it's especially important because things are going to get a little harder. Okay.